Influenced by their proximity to Indians, by being around living, breathing role models of human liberty, European colonists adopted their insubordinate attitudes, which troubled the power elite of France, the historian Cornelius J. Janin observed. In Voltaire's Candide, the eponymous hero is saved from death at the hands of an imaginary group of Indians only when they discover that he is not, as they think, a priest. The author's sympathy with the anti-clerical, anti-authoritarian views of Indians he called Orion is obvious. Both the clergy and Louis XIV tried to suppress these dangerous ideas by instructing French officials to force a French education upon the Indians, complete with lessons in deferring to their social betters. The attempts, Janin reported, were everywhere unsuccessful. In the most direct way, Indian liberty made indigenous villages into competitors for colonists' allegiance. Colonial societies could not become too oppressive because their members, surrounded by direct examples of free life, always had the option to vote with their feet. It is likely that the first British villages in North America, thousands of miles from the House of Lords, would have lost some of the brutally graded social hierarchy that characterized European life. But it is also clear that they were infused by the democratic, informal brashness of Native American culture. That spirit alarmed and discomfited many Europeans, tough and peasant alike. But it is also clear that many others found it a deeply attractive vision of human possibility. Historians have been puzzlingly reluctant to acknowledge this contribution to the end of tyranny worldwide. Think of I. Bernard Cohen claiming that Enlightenment philosophers derived their ideas of freedom from Newtonian physics, when a plain reading of their texts shows that Locke, Hume, Rousseau, and Thomas Paine took many of their illustrations of liberty from native examples. So did the Boston colonists, who held their anti-British Tea Party dressed as Mohawks. When others took up European intellectuals' books and histories, images of Indian freedom exerted an impact far removed in time and space from the 16th century Northeast. For much the same reason as their confreres in Boston, protesters in South Korea, China, and Ukraine wore Native American makeup in respectively the 1980s, 1990s, and the first years of this century. So accepted now around the world is the idea of the implicit equality and liberty of all people that it is hard to grasp what a profound change in human society it represented. But it is only a little exaggeration to claim that everywhere that liberty is cherished, Britain to Bangladesh, Sweden to Soweto, people are children of the Haudenosaunee and their neighbors. Imagine, here let me now address non-Indian readers, somehow meeting a member of the Haudenosaunee from 1491. Is it too much to speculate that beneath the swirling tattoos, asymmetrically trimmed hair, and bedizened robes, you would recognize someone much closer to yourself, at least in certain respects, than your own ancestors? This has been a Highbridge audio production.